On today's episode of the Fumble Rooski podcast, Colts and Chiefs. Chiefs, backs against the wall. If they lose this game, could mean they're out of the playoffs. Along with that, week 12 picks. This is the Fumble Rooski podcast.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has three touchdowns.
Someone's got to get that six or seven spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
Welcome to the Fumble Rooski podcast by Power 88 Dean Radio and Secret Weapon Consulting. We got CJ Medeiros. We got Justin Tucker. We got Adam Wright behind the scenes for today's show. We got a good one for you lined up. Later tonight, we'll be talking about Bills Texans as well. So, see how that one ends up playing out. See if Davis Mills can get the upset win like he did against the Jaguars. But for today, let's take a look at our Rooski game of the week. Colts and Chiefs. Chiefs fresh off of a loss against the Broncos last week. And, you know, this is a, well, said it at the top of the show. This is a Chiefs team that if they lose, well, their playoff chances may be kissed goodbye, because chances are you might not get in at 10 wins. You most certainly might not get in at 9 wins. There's a good chance that you don't get in at 10 wins. So this is a much-needed win that the Chiefs need. On the Colts side, they're coming off a bye, so they're a little healthy. But I see this game in the same sense that I kind of had, at least after the Pittsburgh game that the Colts had, and that's I want to see this team actually be able to perform in cold weather, on natural grass. It's we saw they did all right down in Germany. They played badly against Pittsburgh. Now they're in Kansas City. Now the weather's actually going to be somewhat nice, 59 degrees. So that does put the odds more in Indy's favor. But this is the type of game that Kansas City wins. Everyone's got them down and out. I'm feeling the Chiefs this week in a bounce back win. Thoughts from you fellas. We'll start with Tuck.
Well, I think this is an important game for both the Colts and the Chiefs. I think it's important for the Colts to establish that they're not pretenders, they're contenders. And I think a win against the Chiefs, even a depleted Chiefs, establishes that they are one of the best teams in the AFC. And for the Chiefs, it's do or die. They need to win this game, because if they go 5-6, that means the Texans, depending on how they win, goes ahead of them. The Ravens go ahead of them if they want to beat the Jets. They officially go down to like the 10th, 11th spot. And so that means it's a long road ahead of them just to even make the playoffs, especially with the Chargers and the Broncos ahead of them in the division and the Bills in one of the wild card spots. So as far as I'm concerned, this is do or die. And I'm not sure they will be able to get the job done. I think Indianapolis, with after coming off a bye week, looks refreshed, and I think they'll be able to handle the Chiefs despite Pat Mahomes' best efforts. I give the score 24-20 Colts.
CJ?
Oof. Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah, so for our game of the week here, this is just weird because Chiefs are 5-5. It's the worst they've ever looked with Patrick Mahomes. The Colts, I mean, they might have done some Freaky Friday type nonsense where, you know, the Colts are world beaters. They're running over everyone. They have a stout defense, and the Chiefs are just flailing. However, it's in Arrowhead, which is one of the toughest places to play in the NFL. You know, it's going to be a nicer day, but still it's going to be outside. And that game against Pittsburgh, I think, showed us a lot about the Colts. Now, if you're Kansas City, there's one way to go about this, and that is on every play, stack the box. The Colts are obviously a run-first team, And this is something, you know, that our producer Adam likes to say. Once again, he's right. And I'll echo it again, even though I've said it before. Run first teams are usually the first to fall apart when the run game stops working. So literally, make Daniel Jones beat you. And look, and if you get beat at your own game, then yeah, that sucks. But like, that's what it has to be. If you're going to lose, you can't lose to Jonathan Taylor. Make Daniel Jones beat you. So if I'm Kansas City and I'm Steve Spagnuolo, every play I'm stacking the box, I'm stuffing Jonathan Taylor. Easier said than done, much easier said than done. But I'm getting in his head, I'm frustrating him and saying, all right, Danny Dimes, if that is your real name, beat me with your arm. Now, of course, you know, the Chiefs tried that in the Super Bowl. I mean, they stopped Saquon, but Hurts diced him up. But Hurts is a little better than Daniel Jones for the most part. So honestly, if Jonathan Taylor doesn't, you know, feast, then I don't have a lot of confidence in Daniel Jones to be the reason they win. In Arrowhead, like I said, is going to be tough. And as far as the bye week goes, you're either going to come out rejuvenated or you're going to come out rusty. It's, you can flip a coin because, you know, bye weeks are weird. Sure, you can be rested, but you know, you're not battle tested quite like the previous week either. So I think this is more of a coin flip than what a lot of people think. I know a lot of people just want to say, oh, Colts, but I like home field advantage for Kansas City. I think it's going to be an ugly game. And I think it's going to be a game that, yeah, the Chiefs win, but it's going to leave me with more questions than answers. But at the end of the day, a win is a win. I got the Chiefs grinding out an ugly one because the Colts defense is also really good.
Yeah. It could very much. Could very well see the run game fall apart for all we know, and Chiefs defense, well, they can perform, they can show up. All right, anything else you guys want to touch on for this game, or y'all
get? Not really. Right. Do you guys one thing? Do you guys think if they finish 5-6, do they make the? If they start 5-6, do you think they make the playoffs still?
Let's.
I want to. Oops, you go.
Well, just like the schedule coming up is a little tough. Like they got the Cowboys next week, and then they got the Texans. That could easily be a trap game. The Chargers, and then they also have the Broncos on Christmas Day. Sprinkling the Titans and the Raiders in there. It's that Broncos on Christmas Day game right there. That, and same thing with the Chargers. But like Chargers are a mess in their own right.
They could. But they would have to win out. If they lose this game, then you almost have to win out. And it's very doable. You know, when Mahomes backs against the wall is when he can clutch up. But this Chiefs team is different, and not different in a good way. Yeah. If they lose this game, then your best case scenario is probably the 7th seed.
Yep. No, I agree with that.
I don't think they'll make it if they start off 5-6.
I don't think they make it either, but like CJ said, best they'll do is the 7th seed.
All right.
Yeah. All right. We're going to move on when we come back. Early afternoon slate. This is the Full Maruski Podcast.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has 3 touchdowns.
Someone's got to get that 6th or 7th spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
Welcome back to the Full Maruski Podcast. Let's get into our Week 12 game picks. Teams on the bye this week include Chargers, Commanders, Miami, and Denver. First game on the list, the Bears and the Steelers. It's kind of looking like it's going to be Mason Rudolph this week, but kind of testing the waters on where Rodgers is. CJ, do you have something on that?
No.
It looks like you're making a face like you're about to say something.
I got something stuck in my teeth.
Oh. Nice. Happens to the best. Bears are favored by 2.5 at home. Bears are now the top spot in the NFC North. I would be very interested to see how this goes now. Now you got the top spot. What do you do with it? And we're going to see with this performance against the Steelers. CJ, let's start with you this time.
I got the Bears. Because, look, I know they're saying they're testing the water with Rodgers. He has a fractured hand. Granted, like, it's his non-throwing hand. And granted, he practiced. But at the end of the day, does that mean anything? If you're going to throw your quarterback out there with, like, a fractured non-throwing hand, you're almost asking to lose. Like, I don't, once again, I just, I don't care. That's my thing. I don't care. Yeah, all fun and games till he gets knocked on his ass and he tries to put out his non-throwing hand to break the fall and it snaps off. Obviously, that's an exaggeration, but you get what I mean. Now, for the Bears, there's a lot of hype around them. But they, but to my knowledge, I don't think they've beaten a team above 500 this year. Everyone likes to harass the Patriots for having a cakewalk schedule. The Bears, all their losses have come to, like, I believe, teams above 500. So this is a good chance, even with the Steelers having Mason Rudolph, to buck that trend. And honestly, I think they roll into Pittsburgh and get the job done. Give me Chicago.
Well, CJ would be talking out of your ass because they do have two wins against teams above 500 last week against the Vikings.
And the Vikings are 4-5, idiot.
My bad. I keep thinking they have a winning record. My bad. They still beat the Commanders earlier this year when they were 500.
Yeah, and they're not now, so that literally does not count.
Yeah.
That is how we look in the grand calculus of these things.
Yes. Tuck, your pick.
I think these teams are fairly even matched, but I think it comes down to quarterback play, and I think Caleb Williams is clearly the better quarterback, like, by far better than Mason Rudolph. If Aaron Rodgers was there, then that would be one thing, but since he's not there, I think the Bears will claw this one out, no pun intended, but I think they will be able to scrape by this one. I think 2019, something along those, is going to be a close game, but I think the Bears get this one out.
Jalen Ramsey wasn't getting hit with a suspension from that incident with Jamar Chase, right?
No,
I don't
think, he got fined, but I don't think he got suspended. That's Jamar Chase did, but not him.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Ramsey shouldn't have been suspended. I mean, you saw what Tomlin said. Someone spits on you. Nah, you know,
you react
accordingly. I agree. I'm going with the Bears here. I think that even with, like, if you have Mason Rudolph there, surprisingly, the offense kind of looks better. It's not by much, but it's a little bit better. I heard a great comparison to Mason Rudolph and Aaron Rodgers. It's basically like having two of the same restaurant in your hometown, but one's, like, considered better than the other, but there's not really a clear difference as to why. That's kind of how I see it.
Oh, stop.
Okay, it's weird to say about Aaron Rodgers, but Rodgers, the name, versus Rodgers, the player in 2025, I think are a little different.
Yes. No, I agree.
I get what you mean, though.
Rudolph, Rodgers, doesn't matter. I got the Bears in this one. Next game on the list, the Pats and the Bengals. Pats are favored on the road by 6.5. Over-under is a big one, 50.5. They're expecting Drake May to throw it all over the freaking yard, dude. And with the shit that Cam Newton and Stephen A. Smith are spewing out their mouth, Drake May is going to commit a worse atrocity in Cincinnati since Harambe. Drake May is about to throw for 400 because his childhood idol is talking trash for some reason. Screw Cam Newton, by the way. Screw him. I liked him when he was a Patriot. I liked him because he was a Patriot. He was a good player for the Panthers. No.
Okay.
I hate Cam Newton now. He's just become another talking head on ESPN First Take that just spews nonsense out of their mouth. Like Ryan Clark, like Stephen A. Smith. But anyways, back to the picks. Pats by a billion. You couldn't guess that already.
Does anyone have anything different? I have the Pats. Don't think it'll be close because I think Joe Burrow will miss Jamar Chase because I think Joe Burrow is playing. But I don't think the quarterback play will be much different because Joe Flacco was playing well despite Joe Burrow being absent. So since Jamar Chase isn't going to be there for this game, I think it's going to be a struggle for the offense. So I got the Patriots not close. Not by a million, but not close.
As for me, I'm going with New England here. I think they roll into Cincy, take care of business. And Drake May was given bulletin board material. Cam Newton, the loser one-year wonder.
As We're not going there.
Yes, we are. He has become the football talking head equivalent of Kendrick Perkins. He spews so much bullshit.
He's a loser.
One-year wonder. And then, screaming A. Smith claps back at Drake May. Hey, Stephen A., don't you have a failing presidential bid you have to worry about, you absolute dork? Good God. Yo, give me New England. I hope Drake May, after in the post-game presser, says, yo, Cam Newton, screaming A. Right here.
He is not a one-year wonder.
Just flip the bird to the camera for our listeners.
Also, by the way, when Drake May fumbles, at least he attempts to dive on the ball.
He is not.
Dan Orlovsky got me going as well, talking shit about the Patriots defense. Oh, brother, Dan, we have a top five run game. Why are you talking that trash about it? We have a top Dan five run game defense.
Why do we give that loser any time of the day? Somebody ought to fucking smack him.
All right, I'm gonna freaking burst a blood vessel
There's one thing though, and this isn't about that. This is just about the Bengals.
Yeah,
I know Bengals. You know, Zach Taylor, Mike Brown, whoever your name or your GM is. Listen to me. I know it's tempting. I know you want to save face. You cannot bring Joe Burrow back. You just can't. Not behind that offensive line. Shut him down for the year. You're pretty much out of playoff contention. The only thing this is for is probably fantasy owners. And yeah, with Joe Burrow, it's always a game, but why are you going to try to kill him again? Like, I just think it's stupid. It's over.
Since he is 3-7 right now. So yeah, a loss would effectively kick him out of playoff contention. All right. So I'll take a breath. Detroit and New York. Detroit and the Giants. Let's guess that spread.
I had the Lions.
And don't rely on the ticker, because the ticker was made on Monday, and so the spreads have changed since then.
Is Jackson Dart playing?
No, I would assume not.
12.5.
10. Just 10.
Suckage. Wait, we need just 10. It has to be by
straight
half.
Up 10. It's just Lions by 10.
Word? Huh.
Yeah.
Lions by 14.
Yeah. Lions.
Lions.
All right. Green Bay, Minnesota. Green Bay's favored at home by 6 points against the Minnesota Vikings. I just don't want to make a decision on JJ McCarthy. He's not had a great year. Like, he's had some moments like 2-minute drills that were successful, but that's really about it. What, he's 6 games into technically his first year. I'm not here to make a decision on him yet, but he hasn't had a good year. Then you look at the Packers, they're gangbusters on defense still, but like in terms of their offense, it's just dead. Like, something's wrong with the offense, and Matt LaFleur's head is now on the chopping block. So I mean, in this case, you know, part of me would say the Packers. I might have to make this the upset button here. I don't know. It's I don't know if I'm a fan of what's going on in Green Bay, but something's got me tingling for JJ McCarthy. Give me the Vikings. Give me the Vikings.
Never use that terminology again.
Give me the Packers. Just tingle for JJ McCarthy. Are you okay? Nah, I can't do it. I can't do I got the Packers in this one. To me, it's just it should be the Packers by a lot, but they've been looking so inconsistent, especially on offense. It's making me a little nervous, especially with that Vikings defense, but I got the Packers just winning this one out. But I tell
Adam I'm going to kiss him on the lips all the time.
All right. As for me, I'm sorry. I can't take J.J. McCarthy seriously. And I'm aware, I really am, that, you know, like, we don't want to judge him too soon. But as soon as I heard that goober say, yeah, I have an alternate personality, they called me 9. Yeah, 9 out of 10 on the Vikings fan frustration scale. Good gravy. Just what a goober. Just like, hey, yeah, I'm 9. No, you have all the German Vikings fans just going 9, German for no.
Yeah. Well,
you throw a ball. Chris, that's disgusting. Put that away. That he's holding up a J.J. McCarthy shirt. Why he owns one?
Ew. Ew.
Your guess is as good as mine.
Yeah, but come on.
Where did you get? Oh, he got that when he went to see the Minnesota Stadium.
Oh, possibly. But okay, but look.
It's not possibly.
Justin Jefferson. I mean, look, J.J. McCarthy has been so underwhelming. He's making Justin Jefferson look bad, a wide receiver who we all assumed was DeAndre Hopkins level quarterback proof. But the Packers, what do we even think about them? Like, 1 week, they look sluggish and just like they're falling apart. And then the next week, they look like Super Bowl contenders. I don't know. Couple the fact this is a division game. I'm still going with the Packers. I don't care. 9's not gonna save you, Vikings.
Tucker already gave his pick, right?
He did.
Yeah, I said Packers.
Okay. I was just double checking.
McDonald's.
Seahawks, Titans. This is the get right game of the year right here. This is it. This is Seahawks by a billion. Sam Darnold threw 4 interceptions last week. He's thrown 4 touchdowns this week. Maybe 5. Maybe 7. Because that's just how bad the Titans are. I'm assuming Seahawks all around.
Yeah.
Yep. This literally is the epitome of a get-right game, like you said.
Yeah. Baltimore and the Jets. Tuck, I'll have you guess the spread for this game. Ravens by?
10 plus 10. We should win this one pretty handedly.
It's 13 and a half, actually.
13. We're not that better. We're not that much better than the Jets. I'll be
my brother in Christ. It's
really,
in Baltimore.
Really?
Yeah. No. If you think that, but then you look at our guard play, they can easily stay in this game far longer than they should, and that's what concerns me. I believe Baltimore will win this one. It should be handedly, but I swear to you, if it's close, it's because of my guard play, and we can't establish the run. I can see it now. I could see it being the fourth quarter like it was in the Browns game, and it takes a miracle play to get a touchdown, all because my guards can't stop anybody. I trust my defense right now because they've actually been looking better than expected. They only gave up 9 points to the Browns. I know it's the Browns, but I'll take anything I can get. I believe the Ravens will win this one handedly, but I do have my concerns that we're plus 13 favorites. We shouldn't be plus 13 favorites.
It's technically minus because they're favorites.
Yeah, minus 13 favorites. My bad. But I do have the Ravens winning, but by 10 at the most.
Yeah, I'm going Baltimore. The Jets, I mean, at least when they had Justin Fields, they had that weird gadget element to them. Because, you know, he's a good runner. He can do little dinks and dunks, but he can run. You know, that the gadget offense is always tricky. But with an older, slower Tyrod Taylor, Jets got to play from the pocket. You don't have Garrett Wilson. A.D. Mitchell can't catch. And I got the Ravens.
I also got the Ravens. Obviously, if you haven't noticed already, Tyrod Taylor starting in place of Justin Fields. Not because of injury, just because Justin Fields is ass. Yeah, that is the early slate for week 12. We're going to take a quick break when we come back late afternoon and prime time. This is the Fumble Rooski podcast.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has 3 touchdowns.
Someone's got to get that 6th or 7th spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
Welcome back to the Fumble Rooski Podcast. Week 12, late afternoon, and we start with the Toilet Bowl. The Las Vegas Raiders, 4-point favorites to the Cleveland Browns. All right, Shedeur Sanders, first career start. How is it going to go?
First things first, how the hell are the Raiders anybody's favorites? I don't care who it is. What? What, a 4-point favorites? I understand 1 point, but 4 point, out of your damn mind. I do not trust the Raiders at all. I think Cleveland's going to win just off the strength of Myles Garrett. Do not care what anyone else does on that field. As long as Myles Garrett shows up, Cleveland will be in this game. And I think Shedeur will show you more than what he was showing against Baltimore. It was his first game. He didn't have any first-team reps throughout the whole season. So I think him having actual reps in practice can go a long way. I got Cleveland winning this.
Oh, we got semi-breaking news. Adam, what you got? Oh, it's just, okay, schedule flex. It's week 14, Bears-Packers got flexed.
Okay.
To what was it?
425.
Okay.
So,
and this is great podcasting. Bengals Bills got moved from 4:25 to 1:00.
Yeah, makes sense.
Great podcasting on my part, guys. Great podcasting.
Oh, believe me, you will be forgiven.
Yeah, you know, we're only talking about the Raiders and the Browns. CJ, before you give your pick, over under on this game.
Jesus, Harold Christ, why do you force me to do this? I don't want to do this. I've never wanted to do this. And no, I'm just not gonna.
Okay, Tuck.
As far as points?
Yeah, total points.
Probably like what, 30 and a half or 35 and a half or some low
number. I was gonna go
36 and a half.
Chris, I'm sorry, I was joking around before, but like, yeah, no,
it's okay.
Tight game, I guess. But for me, oh my God, this game might actually end 3-0. This really might. It's so funny. I mean, on the bright side, Shedeur Sanders is getting first team reps, so I expect he'll look a little better than he did against Baltimore. And I know the Raiders should win. Counterpoint, they are the Raiders, the 2025 Raiders, which I didn't think they were going to be good. I thought they'd be like watchable, maybe end the year with like 6 wins, 5, but I didn't expect them to be this bad. Really didn't. So I think the Raiders are going to Raider. I think Shador's going to do just enough to keep them in the game. You know, him and Quinshon Judkins. Yeah, it's going to be an ugly game. Probably, like I said, it might end like 3-0. God, I hope it does. That'd be funny. But I'm going with the Browns. Shador's going to, like I said, he's going to do just enough. And Mel Kiper's going to Kiper all over the place when that happens.
Yeah.
And we'll never hear the end of it.
I am going to go with the Raiders. I don't really have much of a basis because I don't know, like this could be a 3-3 tie. This could be the ugliest loss you've ever seen from either side. This could just be the ugliest game you've ever seen. The only basis I really have is that the Browns are 0-5 on the road and the Raiders are 1-4 at home. Cinema. Against all odds, Shedeur Sanders will lose. All right. Next game in the 4:00 slate, sticking with 4:05, Jacksonville and the Cardinals, the Jaguars and the Cardinals. Cardinals 3-point underdogs at home. I mean, this is basically do or die right now for the Cardinals. They're 3-7. You've basically established that Jacoby Brissett is your guy pretty much the rest of the season at this rate. And he broke the NFL single game record for completions in a game. Congrats to him for that. Too bad they still lost. But I mean, the offense is looking like that. Who knows? Because, you know, you're going up against the Jaguars. You know, I'm just going to come out right and say it. This is going to be this is like the perfect game for the Jaguars to lose. All points are heading to a Jaguars, a massive beatdown of the Chargers last week. It just smells disappointment. Give me the Cardinals. This is my upset of the week. This is my upset of the week. Cardinals over Jaguars. Book it.
I'm not booking that. I got the Jags over the Cards. They don't have Kyler Murray. Do not trust Jacoby Brissett to bring them to the promised land. Do they even have Marvin Harrison Jr. right now?
I too wonder this.
If they don't, that even goes more credence in my way. I got the Jags winning this one.
It sucks because Jacoby Brissett's been playing really well as of late, but it's literally just him and Trey McBride and maybe like Buda Baker on defense. That's pretty much it. And even though Jacksonville's weird jungle grab bag of nonsense that, you know, like that just the randomness that they throw at you game to game, I still think even they can beat the Cardinals. Chris, like, I understand your point. I do. But, oh my God, I just don't trust the Cardinals at all. They have all the explosive firepower of a cheap dollar store water pistol. And the Jaguars are wonky and inconsistent, but you got to beat Arizona. You just got to. That's all.
Marvin Harrison Jr. is still out, by the way, because of his appendicitis.
Oh, well, that sucks.
Yeah, had his appendix removed. Mari DiMarcado also out. Trey Benson on IR. It's they're shorthanded. I don't know.
They're shorthanded. No offense to Kyler Murray.
Yeah, good one. Next game on the list, if this thing wants to load for me, the Cowboys and the Eagles. Cowboys are 3.5-point underdogs against the Eagles. I think if you want a game where you need the Eagles to feel something, then this might just be the game, right? I mean, the Cowboys, the pass defense sucks. It's pretty ass. I mean, their defense in general sucks, but especially the pass D. So maybe we see some Jalen Hurts to A.J. Brown quite a few times, maybe to Devonta Smith quite a few times, maybe Dallas Goedert quite a few times. You get what I'm saying. Give me the Eagles.
I said, give me the Eagles. I hope that Dallas can make this a close game because I actually think the inclusion of Quinnen Williams will help that defense tremendously because now they have two top D tackles that can apply pressure within the pocket. So I think this game could be close. But again, I don't think Deron Bland is going to all of a sudden just upgrade that secondary. I think hopefully that this game will be close, but I still think the Eagles have more than enough talent to pull away from them. Eagles got this one.
Philly. Once again, you know, Cowboys run defense sucks, but their pass defense sucks does as well. I expect this to be a shootout, but I think Philly's going to pull away. It's probably going to be like, I don't know, 31-21.
Yeah. I mean, I think if you're Philly, key to this game is make sure that Jalen Carter doesn't get tossed before the first snap of the first game of the season or before just the first snap of the game. So that's a good key. That's a good key. Yeah. New Orleans and Atlanta. New Orleans 2.5-point favorites against the Falcons. And, I mean, for good reason. They got Kirk Cousins starting. Most like they're going to be without Drake London again. Things are not looking good for the Falcons. And, you know, the Saints were going to win very, very little games. But they're going to win any sort of very few. This is one of those games because the Falcons are so dead in the water right now. Give me the Saints.
I said, give me the Falcons. I think it'll be close. Very close. Unusually close, but I still think the Falcons will pull it out in the end.
You know what? Do you guys know what month it is? It's Kirktober. Bust out your good khakis, because I got the Falcons.
It's November.
And honestly, it's just like, I don't trust the Saints. I don't. You know, they're mired in misery. They're not going to do anything. You know, Tyler Shuck has one good game, and, you know, people are going nuts. But honestly, I still have Atlanta. It's going to be ugly, but I still have Atlanta.
Yeah, this will also be one of the uglier games of the day. But we will be treated to a good Sunday night football game. It's the Rams and the Buccaneers. Rams are favored by 7 points on the nose for this one. And also for good reason, because Tampa's secondary has been an issue. Really just Tampa's defense. And the Rams have been straight nails this season. They're coming off a massive win against the Seahawks last week. I don't see how they don't keep it rolling this week. Also, we didn't touch on it, but Davante Adams, 1,000th career reception for a touchdown last week.
Nice.
How sweet it is.
Pretty good.
Very nice.
But as for my prediction, right? Wait, Chris, were you going to give yours first?
Rams.
All right. This should be if you look at their records and how they played the season, you'd think this is a good game, but I think we're at the point where, as much as, look, I think we all love Baker Mayfield here, but the injuries are really starting to catch up to him. I mean, you got Luke Goedeke back, but the interior of the line is still a mess. Bucky Irving might play, but I mean, that's nice, but still Godwin's not even back, and teams are quickly learning that if you double team Igbuka, you know, they're going to pretty much stifle their offense. And the defense, the only good defender they have is Jamel Dean. He's been solid. Unfortunately, you can make the game plan, all right, there's Jamel Dean, let's throw where he's not. And you got Puka, you got Davante Adams, you got Kyron on the ground. Too many options to gash a Bucs defense that's hurt as well. So give me the Rams.
Chuck.
I said the Rams. Bucs are too injury riddled right now for me to have any hope that Baker can somehow pull this victory out of defeat. I think Matthew Stafford will play well against this Bucs defense. I think Puka and Nacua will have a good game, over 100 yards easy and potentially a touchdown. I think Kyron Williams will have a good game on the ground. And I think the Rams overall are just a better team right now than the Bucs.
Bucs in general are just in a heap of trouble. You know, if they lose this, say they lose this game, and we'll talk about Panthers and the Niners in a second. But if they lose this game and the Panthers go to Levi's Stadium and upset the Niners on Monday night, they're not the division leader anymore. So this is, I mean, yeah, you're assuming that maybe the Niners win, but you really don't know at this rate. Like, because the Panthers are another team where they could catch some heat and take down a team like the Niners. And they're right there. They're right on the Bucs' tail. Since we're talking about it, let's just get into it. Monday Night Football, 49ers and the Panthers. And Niners are favored in this game, good reason, by 7 points at home. And I've been talking this talk about the Panthers. You know, there's the potential that they get the upset on Monday night. But, I mean, seeing the way Brock Purdy played against the Cardinals last week, golly, like, there is the noticeable difference of having Brock Purdy as your quarterback compared to Mac Jones. And this offense is kind of back to the levels that we've been seeing. Give me the Niners. Stay hot.
I went with the upset. I went with the Panthers. I believe in this team to get the job done this time. Prime time. This is Bryce Young's coming out party. I need to see it on Monday. I want to see it. I think I'm going to see it. I think they're going to pull it off against the 49ers, because they don't look like a complete team right now. And I hope Bryce Young plays well, because I think he is the future of that franchise.
CJ.
You know, I like Panthers with the upset as well. Sure, Purdy looks good, but sure, you beat up the Cardinals defense, but the Panthers have one of the more underrated units, I think, in the league. And that Niners defense is terrible. Honestly, the more I think about it, the more I'm expecting a shootout. And I think Carolina is going to go into Santa Clara and come out with a win. Give me Carolina. This, for me, this is Bryce Young's real prove-it game for Carolina's in general.
Yeah, we were talking about that earlier, too. This is like the first primetime game that Bryce Young's had, like somewhat big primetime game against the, especially against a team like the Niners. So this is should be interesting to watch. And, you know, you guys have the Panthers. I kind of like the Panthers to cover on Monday night. Spread's at 7. I could see them covering 7. All right. Anything else you guys want to touch on from this game or any other game for that matter?
No, not really.
All right, cool. Good. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk some Thursday night football recap of the Bills and the Texans. This is the Paul Maruski podcast.
I've always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has 3 touchdowns.
Someone's got to get that 6th or 7th spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
Boy, oh boy, what a wild finish we just had for Thursday Night Football. Texans shut down the Bills second year in a row, 23-19. What a finish. What a damn finish. You have the combination of, you know, Texans getting 8 sacks against Josh Allen. Unbelievable. And the Texans giving up no sacks themselves. Woody Marks had himself a solid day. Josh Allen ended up throwing 2 picks. James Cook rushed for over 100 yards. This was a weird one. Khalil Shakir, 110 yards. And shit, most of them came on 4th and 27. What a play call. 4th and 27.
Ladder.
The hook and ladder. How about that? And freaking got him into scoring position. But, man, Texans defense was nails tonight. Straight nails. 8 sacks, 2 interceptions. And, geez, like, that's 3 in a row for the Texans. That's 3 in a row. They're 5-5.
6-5.
Or 6-5, sorry. Like, that's insane. Like, we saw this team as dead in the water, and now they're 6-5 with a winning record, just knocked off the Bills. All of a sudden, it feels like we're looking at the Texans in a different light, and the Bills as a team that – I'll get to the Bills in a moment. But the Texans – with Davis Mills and no CJ Stroud, 3 wins in a row. And now they've won 4 of their last 5. Insane. Media reactions from you guys. CJ, you can start.
Oh my God. Look, I saw the Texans with that 7-point lead, and I said to myself, as a Pats fan, I want them to lose, but I know Josh Allen. I've watched Josh Allen. This is going to be one of those things where, you know, he's going to have the game-winning drive, and, you know, that's what I was bracing myself for. Mm-hmm. And that was reinforced when on 4th and 27, they converted with a wild-ass, like, high school-level, like, hook and ladder. Like, that's – usually don't see that in the pros. And I'm like, oh, my God, it's not going to happen. And then the Texans defense clutched up, got them to 4th and 1. And then, of course, the Bills jump. So it's 4th and 6. So now you have to pass it. And Josh Allen throws the game-losing interception. And you want to know what's funny? I saw the flag, and you had McDermott and Allen gesturing for the defense. Let me just say, A-plus acting job by the ref, who literally said, pass interference. Takes a breath. On the offense, like, that is some look. I don't watch it, but that's some WWE level nonsense if I've ever seen it. Because, you know, that man, he knew he was going to make the call of the night. And yeah, and that's all she wrote. Houston upsets Buffalo in Houston. And I feel like what it came down to is Buffalo outgained them. Buffalo outgained them by over 60 yards. They had more passing yards. They had more rushing yards. They had more yards of play. They, you know, they, I won't say dominated time of possession, but got it 32-40 to the Texans 27-38. Not sure how that adds up, but whatever. But at the end of the day, and keep in mind, they had a better third down conversion. They went 5 of 16 compared to Houston, who went 2 of 12. So when you look at these, you say, oh, hey, they must have won. But Chris said it already. 8 sacks. The Texans defense got to Josh Allen 8 times. And you could tell at the end, Allen was banged up, especially on that final drive. He was doing this with his hand. I mean, he's a little hurt. And on top of that, even though Buffalo outgained them and had the ball for longer, averaged more yards of play, had better third down efficiency, at the end of the day, what the difference was, but this might sound weird, Houston played a clean game. They are a cleaner game. Because the name of the game, not just sacks, that's not the name of the game here, takeaways. Josh Allen, 2 really bad interceptions, along with a fumble. The fumble wasn't his, that was Shakir's. But yeah, you turn over the ball 3 times. Texans have the best defense in the league now, hands down. And so obviously, like I said, the fourth down interception, that was just a killer. But the other one, I know it was a tipped ball, but I do put that on Allen. He telegraphed it. He was staring down his target, and Azeez Al-Shaair jumped the route, batted into the air. That was still something he shouldn't have thrown with a lurking linebacker. Chris, you're a former QB. You know that.
Yes. Yeah.
It was turnovers. And, you know, that's usually the old adage, right? You know, the team that turns over the ball less wins. And that's just how it came down. Davis Mills had a respectable day, I'd say. 16 of 30, not the best, but 153 yards, not the best. 2 touchdowns, and they got the most important stat, the W.
Yeah. We were talking before we resumed the pod and watching the game and whatnot. And I was like, I mean, that's, you said it too. Like, that was the type of shit that I ran in high school when we needed a big play, it was late and we needed something. And like how they ran it and how we run it, it's not even really a hook per se. It's more just like a 10 yard dig, but you kind of just sit in an area in the zone. Just kind of sit there, and then you got another guy opposite side of the field crossing. It's basically just 2 crossers just meeting in the middle, essentially. And that's what the Bills ran there. And that's, I think that's more what you see now rather than an actual hook route. But jaws on the floor when that OPI was called. Jaws on the floor. Tuck, your thoughts.
Where do I begin? First and foremost, congratulations to the Houston Texans. They played a game on defense. 8 sacks. Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter had a game. As a matter of fact, the entire front 7 had a game. They couldn't block them. And if it wasn't one person, it was another. If it wasn't the 2 pass rushers, it was the D tackles getting involved. It's just, they were just hitting him one after another. But then I was like, when I looked at the offense, they weren't moving the ball in the second half. I was like, they need to start moving this ball because things will start happening where Josh Allen will start moving the ball and he'll get a field goal here and then he'll get this miraculous touchdown and win the game. I was like, please don't let this happen. So when the Houston Texans got the ball for the last time and they went 3-and-out, I was like, with a little over 3 minutes left, you're going to give the ball to Josh Allen? Is that really the best thing to do here? Whatever. I accepted it, and I was like, hopefully this defense can stand tall. They were giving me hope, and then all of a sudden, 4th and 27 happened. I was like, oh, no, they're about to win this game. No, they're about to win this game. And then Josh Allen threw an interception on 4th down. Absolutely could not throw that ball, especially off his back foot. That was a bad throw and a bad decision, which ultimately cost them the game. I'm not blaming the whole thing on Josh Allen. He had no help from his O-line the entire game. Will Anderson and Dean Hunter had a field day with them. Just all around good effort by the Texans. They did just enough not to lose this game, and the Bills still have more work to do. And the AFC, this just shows how wide open the AFC is right now. There is no clear-cut contender in the AFC, in my eyes.
100% agree. This is evidence of that. I mean, especially when you have a game where you sack Josh Allen, like they're saying, Josh Allen was sacked for five plus times for the first time since week one of 23 of the 2023 season. Yeah. Insane. That's really all I got left to say about the game in general. But, you know, Texans, as we mentioned, their season's still very much alive. They're 6-5. The Bills, well, now they're 7-4. You know, we were talking about the Bills in general and how, you know, with them losing to New England and then losing to the Dolphins, now they're really like, they're really two games behind. Now they're three games behind.
And they have the Patriots coming up.
Mm-hmm. And still with the Patriots coming up, yeah. And right now your upcoming schedule, it's on the easier side, but you have the Steelers next week, the Bengals.
They got the Eagles.
Yeah, Bengals the week after that, the Patriots on December 14th, the Browns, the Eagles on the 28th, as you mentioned, and then the Jets on week 18.
Yeah, these are not give-me games at all. They have to win out to make the playoffs convincingly.
Yes.
I think 13-4, they get in safely, but if it's like 12-5, 11-6, that might be a problem.
Yeah, they're now 2.5, I believe, games behind the Patriots. And the Patriots, you know, they keep saying, oh, easy schedule. You know, the Bills and Pats going to be tough. The Pats have to play the Ravens with Lamar. So those are going to be tough. But at this point for Buffalo, the reason why I bring that up is because I don't want to count any eggs before they hatch, but it's not enough that they win, but they almost need New England to lose. And you're kind of teetering at that point where you don't, when it comes to at least winning your division, you might not necessarily control your own destiny. And for Buffalo, their playoff aspirations took a hit. Granted, not by a lot. They went from 94 to 87, which, you know, it's not ideal, but you're still going to make it. Houston, on the other hand, they went from, I believe, high 20s, low 30s playoff probability to now 49. So you've gone from leaning unlikely to now it being essentially a coin flip. And like I said, defense wins championships. I mean, I'm not saying they're a contender, but at least defense wins games, defense travels. And for what it's worth, like we said, three straight. General Mills getting the better of Josh Allen and that Bills defense. And as long as that Texans defense is healthy, then they're always going to be in games. I mean, you heard what Al Michaels said on the call. When he's like, oh, how Buffalo was getting pile driven by Houston so much that they had to go back to scripting plays. Like you always say, like, oh, you could tell they're scripting again. It's like
8 sacks, 3 takeaways.
Mm-hmm. Hall of Fame type defensive performance. That's hanging in the Louvre. Also, on a small and kind of unrelated note, Keon Coleman, second game is a healthy scratch.
Yes, I did notice that. And my dipshit friend tried to trade him to me for Chris Godwin, amongst others, along with Keon Coleman. But I was like, are you shitting me right now? Trying to pawn him off on me.
Jeez, man. That's heinous. That is heinous. That's evil. That's some evil nonsense right there.
Yeah. And, you know, Patriots Twitter, of course, is just all up and all, like everyone's in a fucking tizzy from earlier today because of First Take and ESPN. We already went on a rant about it earlier today, too. And now this game's going on and everyone's just like, you're calling this guy the fucking MVP? Mays King tweeted, so Josh Allen threw a pick six, got bailed by a penalty, defense held them to a field goal, and then got a kick return touchdown. I'm supposed to believe he's the MVP.
Yeah, this game's really going to, that's going to hurt Allen's MVP odds.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. This definitely does. 100%. I mean, this is back-to-back weeks where he throws two interceptions. Granted, last week he had 6 touchdowns, but either way, chop it. up how you want. This is back-to-back weeks of two intercept. Like he,
yeah.
This has been a few weeks in a row now where he has been showing signs of his rookie self. Like the 20 turnover Josh Allen is kind of returned.
Guys, stop. He has no help. Give him a break. He had help,
and he didn't win with said help. And look, I'm sorry. Like, no, I don't care. It's like, oh, he doesn't have help. Well, maybe Buffalo should have thought of that before throwing a bag at Curtis Samuel and Josh Palmer, you know, drafting that bum Keon Coleman, who, by the way, everybody on this podcast said was going to be a bum. Of course, I led the charge, but that's neither here nor there. But, you have practically, the fan base practically rode Stephon Diggs out of town, and now look. So let's not play this game that he has no help. That's just that's nonsense. So I'm just saying, like, that's they're not. I don't. They're pretenders. They're another one where I am slowly moving them into the pretenders club. You know?
Yeah. I mean, at the same time, too, I feel like we always end up doing this with the Bills, and then they go to the AFC Championship or whatever. So it's
just for the Chiefs take their lunch as always.
Yes. What I will say too is that this is the second time that Josh Allen has had a 4+ interception stretch in three games. Earlier, the first one being when the Bills were falling apart for that weird stretch where they lost to the Pats and the Falcons. If you guys remember that, and Josh Allen threw four interceptions during that three game stretch, also kind of got sacked a good amount. Not as much, of course, in the last three games that the Bills have played now, this being 11 sacks and the other time now being 8 sacks, but still a pretty high number. And also that no help bullshit. He still won MVP last year with no help. So, freaking A, Tuck. Why are you trying to defend Josh Allen? He stole an MVP away from Lamar.
I just got to accept that. He has no control over it. It's those damn voters that I have to just accept. Even though Lamar made first team all pro with the same voters, they just decided MVP means a different thing. I just accept it. I have no ill will against Josh Allen. It is what it is. I move on. I don't think Josh Allen is better than Lamar, but he's in the same echelon. But again, my problem is if you guys rate him the same way, hold him to the same standard you guys hold Lamar to. That's all I ask. And he's never held to.
Dude,
you guys, I'm just saying.
You know that I like Lamar better than I like Allen. That is like a well-established fact on this show.
Oh, thanks.
No, I'm not even saying just to say that you know this. And I also think that forget being let off the hook. I mean, and you know, I've said this before, of all the criticisms people take Lamar, you know, they give them to Lamar. I take all those criticisms, crumple them up into a ball, cut that ball in half and give the other half to Harbaugh because that guy's a fraud walking. And speaking of frauds, can we finally admit Sean McDermott's not good? I'm going to say it every week. I don't like that guy.
I don't know. We say he's not good, but then he'll make an AFC championship appearance.
Okay, like, how do I put this? You're not okay. Maybe he's solid, but you're not going to win with Sean McDermott. Picture this. You could take all the head coaches and put them in a tier list. He's a tier two coach. That's just the way things are. And like, I don't care if he wins them games. What good is it when, you know, he's always tripping at the finish line?
Well,
and it gets to a point where if Allen is playing statistically well and they're still not winning and he's putting up numbers, they're still not winning, that's coaching.
They're winning. They're just not winning the one thing that's been within their grasp.
Yeah, at what point do you say maybe it's coaching? And I'm just saying, when the Bills go against a team they're more or less evenly matched with, when there's no clear advantage, McDermott gets out-coached. He got out-coached by Raheem Morris, Tuck. Raheem Morris.
That one was a big. But I will say, that defense that Atlanta has is no joke when they're healthy.
Yeah, no, when they're healthy, but yeah. And still, like, he got outcoached by Vrabel. He just got outcoached by D'Amico Ryans. He got outcoached by Mike McDaniel.
Yeah.
And that wasn't even, like, a fluky game or a slugfest. Now, Miami ran away with that.
Yeah. I don't know how I feel about the Bills because they still have, like, tough matchups up ahead. They still have the Patriots and they still have the Eagles. If they lose those two games, their wild card spot is in jeopardy, like severely in jeopardy. Winning the division. I don't think they're winning the division. No, the lead is a little bit.
It's unlikely.
Unlikely. Unless somehow the Patriots just crumble and they get what they
like. Win. Unless Drake May gets a season ending injury, knock on wood, that doesn't happen. But.
Don't wish that negativity on me, Ricky Bobby.
He knocked on wood. He knocked on wood.
I did. I knocked on wood. Man, like, barring something like that, barring, like, the entire Pats team goes down, once again, knock on wood, that doesn't happen, then I don't see them winning.
Unless they somehow pull it off in Foxborough against you guys, I don't see it happening.
Even still,
God forbid it happens. God forbid it happens. I will actually put a bullet in my head if that happens. If the Bills beat the Patriots in Foxborough, I will be putting a bullet in my head.
Don't do that. Then I have to schedule RSS, and I don't want to.
Yeah, that's true. You know, for everybody out there, that is not a cry for help.
Go ahead and die for me.
Oh, CJ, come on. Like, why would you say that?
You goober. People watching on YouTube will see my mouth not moving.
Unbelievable.
Go ahead and die for me because you are a net negative on society.
I just said some terrible stuff there, CJ, and you're
2.5 seconds.
I can say it. Hey, Chris, go ahead and die for me. You're net negative on society. There, I can say it for real.
Unbelievable.
Oh, we have fun. We have fun.
That is not a cry for help. I am okay. But seriously, though, like, it might be the end of the world for me if the Bills win in Foxborough.
Also, Will Anderson has double-digit sacks now.
Yeah.
He's
got to be second behind Myles Garrett in Defensive Player of the Year, I would think.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. No one's catching Miles.
No.
Probably not.
All right. That is all the scheduled content that we have for you today. Anything else that popped up during the last few hours that we want to bring up? In between our breaks?
Anything in particular? I think there might have been. Oh, yeah. Apparently, allegedly, this is some Texans news. So you know how it's like Woody Marks and Nick Chubb, and they're waiting for Mixon to return.
Oh, Mixon's not returning.
Yeah, Ian Rappaport said a few hours ago, Mixon's not coming back. Like,
as a,
they've shut him down.
As a Joe Mixon fantasy owner for a dynasty league, I could have told you that like preseason week one.
Also, the Niners, you know, they got Purdy back, Mac Jones on the bench, and some Niners beat reporters or close to the team speculate that the Niners could fetch, quote, as high as a second round pick in a trade for Mac Jones. I myself Mac agree. Jones.
Mac and cheese goes for a second round pick.
Look, if someone's booting up the Mac for a second round pick, nah. That GM's gotta be fired. Also, before we go, one more thing for real this time. Speaking of GMs that need to be fired, Terry Fontenot out of the Falcons. I was thinking about the Falcons. I was pondering, you know, taking my daily constitutional, a walk for the uneducated among you. I was thinking about Terry Fontenot, and remember we were talking about, you signed Kirk Cousins and you drafted Michael Penix. Now you have neither, and now you don't even have a first-round pick for this year, which is going to the Rams, and it's probably going to be a top-10 pick, and the Rams are already good.
Yep.
Off with his job.
I remember that because they gave up that pick to get James Pierce Jr.
Mm-hmm. They overcorrected the edge rusher issue. They drafted Jalen Walker, then they drafted James Pierce. Yeah.
I don't think they overcorrected it. They just needed that.
It's not cricket.
I think they needed that because they've been trying to fix that position for years.
They really just attempted now. They just kind of let it fester. They had that one weird-ass breakout year from Vic Beasley, only for him to never do that again. In 2016. And they never did anything since. They never even attempted. Oh, yeah, they drafted Kenley, but I don't count that.
They did try. They got Matthew Judon, but he was past his prime.
Yeah.
So then they just decided we're going to attack this position in the draft. And they successfully did it. Their defense is a lot better because they can actually generate pressure.
Yeah, they're also like 3-7, and they don't have their first round pick. And the other saying, when you have two quarterbacks, you don't have any. Well, they don't have two quarterbacks. They got nothing. You've got Mr. Khakis and Michael. Now I have two bad knees, Penix. So
he had two bad knees when he came into the league.
Now no, he had one, because there's that one knee that got essentially rebuilt in a lab, but now it's the other. Now it's the other knee. So yeah, it's over. Get rid of Terry Fontenot, Falcons. Do it for yourself. Do it for yourself. You deserve it.
I wonder who they're going to draft for the second round pick.
You, linebacker out of Dean College.
May as well be.
That would be nice, but the Rams are 8-2 and like second in the NFC. So if they get a top 10 pick on top of that, they might be a problem next year.
I think they're projected like the 8th pick right now. Eighth or seventh. Yeah. Something like that.
Sorry, I just had to bring that up. Just saying, like, we gotta get your phone on.
Sorry. Let me. I'll do you one better. Antonio Brown accused of murder. Bingo. All right. No,
it's no longer just. It's no longer just attempted. It's actual murder now.
Wait. I don't know. What? I thought it was attempted. I know. Attempted.
I'm not starting this right now. I'm not starting this. I was just trying to be funny. We're not starting this. We're not starting this.
Okay. I guess we're not starting this.
I definitely like got that one wrong, but I was just trying to be funny. I wasn't actually trying to start a conversation about Antonio Brown.
You gotta leave that after the week, dog. You gotta leave that. You gotta leave the humor to me and talk. Like, come on.
No, shut the fuck up.
Anything serious you guys want to talk about before we log off?
No. I'm ready to end the show. All right.
No, it's been over an hour. Adam's probably gnashing his teeth somewhere. God love him.
Yeah, that'll do it for us today. Thank you for tuning in to another Friday episode of the Fumble Risky Podcast.
Let me fix the screen. Let me fix the screen because you know how Adam is.
Because I made an Adam joke.
Nice. Sorry. New episode coming out on Tuesday at 8 a.m. Be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel. And we also have all our episodes available on Spotify, Spreaker, Apple Podcast, IR Radio, Google Podcast, and so much more. Be sure to follow our Instagram, FumbleRisky_podcast, to keep up with the pod and the latest coverage on the NFL. Otherwise, CJ Medeiros, Justin Tucker, I'm Chris Kostich. We'll see you on Tuesday. Over and out.